Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome back to Liquidity and Liquor. I'm Scott DeClary. I'm here with Yosef Martin. We're going to be speaking about the current capital environment, economic environment. So a few things are happening. So for example, Twitter, 50% of the engineering department when Elon came in had not checked the code in months. People were very ambitious. They're trying to move into management positions, but they weren't actually doing real work. And then Elon got rid.
Now, that was once he got in, or is it going on now?
I think it's on. I think it's once he got in and ongoing.
Okay.
So he's making sure that if you're working for a company, you're actually working.
Yeah.
So founders and CEOs are basically trimming the fat. And then also, there's a whole bunch of investors with dry powder, and they're not investing as much as they used to be investing. But when they are investing, they're investing in companies that are slimmer, more agile, more profitable, because they can't have bloat. So companies can no longer build bloated with all this excess, all this middle management. So I'm curious, where do you think, or how do you think a founder can build a company? Keeping this in mind, they get rid of the bloat. They want to make their company as profitable as possible. They don't want the middle management. They want their company to be investable. How do they build a company in a current economic client?
I don't think it changed anything. I think where you look at companies, you have two types. You have the ones that are actually focused on the product or service, and they're running with something that is goal-oriented. Versus you have some that in the back of their head, they always are focused on the next raise, which means, and I'm picking someone else's line, it's like you drink the Kool-Aid. It was so easy to raise money. You need to just focus on whatever you do. You need to position it for the next raise, not position the product for a better product market fit. And that is the mistake of so many. So now the market is a lot more reactive for it. It's a cycle, right? It's cyclical. In a bull market, people are much more bullish, throwing money into a bunch of companies where they throw money where they're no longer EBITDA driven. And yes, they're looking for everything that's really about when they are getting, it's kind of like a musical chair with investment, with investors, where you say, well, I'm going to buy it in now and I know I can sell it in later. It's not about if it's going to make it or not. I just know that there's going to be another round eventually and I might pull out at that
point. So this is the issue with
startups and VC. And that's being corrected.
Yes.
It's a typical issue. As long as your business is focused on profit, as long as your business is focused on the product, and investors can understand you cannot be profitable now, but it's really about the product. You're very lean. You know how you do. Overly managing the business should have been always punished.
Yeah.
I feel like right now, they're going to do it right. So we're going to have...
Because if they don't, they're not
going to... Exactly.
So capital is going to be deployed slower.
They should die. They should die. You should die. And we're going to come from the other side with better companies. I feel like from that cycle, a bear market is absolutely imperative because we're going to have better engineers, better... Look at what you just mentioned with Elon Musk, where he said, well, why are you here if you're not checking your own code?
Yeah.
Why? It's not about your career, it's about your code.
But this is, by the way, not just Twitter. This is every tech company that laid off people in the past 3 months, which is the majority of them have laid off massive amounts of people.
This is where you need to learn how the engineering world works, right? You enter, say, Intel as an engineer. You're going to start in a particular division where you say, let's just assume you're doing chips and this is your category. Eventually, you can go into middle management if you're good at what you do, and you're going to die as an engineer. Once you're out of your element, you're no longer good as an engineer. You're rusty. You're not going to come back to it. So you stay as a manager. Smart engineers always say, no, I want to stay an engineer or I leave, because I understand that if I'm in middle management, I'm stuck only in this company, because the prize is for the engineers that are doing what's on trend. So if we move from chips to, let's just say, let's write algorithm and you move on in a path of an engineer where you always have to educate yourself on what's new, and that's how you're always relevant. So what you're going to have now All the engineers that are actually doing something productive, they're going to stay. They have no problem because they're in the right path. The ones that have moved because they were kind of like, okay, engineers, but they're, you know what, I have a better personality. I can just be a better manager.
People, yeah.
They don't need another manager. We're going to be just fine. So that's where you're going to be. There's going to be that the displacement where you're going to see people losing jobs in the managerial part. Companies are going to just reshape their org charts. And it's all going to be about the engineers, the one that build products.
Do you think that with all the companies that grew almost like blitz scaling with venture capital money, I mean, even the WeWorks and the Airbnbs and the Ubers that, I mean, it took a long time for them to even turn a profit. Do you think that we're 5 or 10 years out from seeing companies operate like that again?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Not old enough to understand what economic environment allows VCs to think that that's a smart strategy. But obviously something happened because they were, look at what happened. Adam Neumann just raised more money from VCs.
Yeah.
So something.
Well, look, I mean, he's actually buying buildings and he's renting them. So it's a bit of a different, he's saying that there's a technology component and all that and community component, but it's still, it's actual real estate that you buy, but it's a different story. I think the classic example of, is it really worth it to invest in a business that doesn't turn profit day one? Amazon would basically be a perfect example where Jeff Bezos was really good keeping his investors patient for 20 years until he started turning profit, right? And a lot of them are picking on that model and they say, well, is Chewy going to be profitable one day? It's been a while. What about... So I feel like there are points where they say, well, if we're going to invest in a business, we need to have a roadmap. We need to make sure that the roadmap makes sense because not everyone can be profitable day one. You might have to have a little bit more infrastructure before you're profitable. That will take a little longer and all that. And sometimes you just look at this as a scope of a musical chair and you say, who's the next in line? And that's typical for... So right now, no one is going to invest in something that they don't know for sure that they can turn profit. Those are the ones that's going to see some increase, but it's going to turn around very quickly because the opportunities in the other side are always there. There are always companies that need money and it takes time to actually turn profit.
I'm thinking about the actual person in the situation right now that is an exceptional developer and then turned into an exceptional delegator and people manager and is realizing that they're next on the chopping block. These are the people that should actually work in earlier stage startup. I think that those would
Why?
Be... Because... I think that they should have, instead of being comfortable, they could have had a major impact on a well-funded earlier stage company because I think they got too comfortable. They stayed in these positions for too long.
It doesn't have to be a person that turned manager. Because you can stay within a big organization as an engineer.
But they have such good skills. If you can be an effective middle manager, if you still have the coding jobs, then you can kill it as a good CTO for an early stage startup.
Yeah. The problem with managers is that you don't have to be an engineer to be a manager. Anyone can be a manager. You can have some background for coding, right? But in general, if you go for code and that line of what you have done is already obsolete and they moved on for something else, and that's what you knew, and now there's a whole different budget, then you know that skill set is no longer relevant. Managers are important, right? Don't get me wrong, they're important. And it can be managers that don't know the technicalities exactly of what you do, but they're just going to be great delegators. They're going to be the right people that can synergize the business. And they have done something that other people didn't do. But in the engineering world, you know what? The problem is where you go a company, you take a company like that is very large, but it's still very flat. And they're very effective because they're flat. And you can see quite a few of those, I think. If you look at Samsung, it's a fairly flat organization from the CEO all the way down. Here it's about 7 or 10 layers.
Max.
Yeah, max. It's not a big one, right? Versus other companies that it's the same thing. If you look at Intel, it's going to be maybe 70 layers between one to another. So it's
or IBM or something
like that.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's where it's going to be cut.
Yeah, I love it. So net lesson from this is, if you're building something right now, focus on making it as flat. And
I think
as
it's forever. I don't think. The challenge people have is once you get cash and they said, don't worry about profitability, just grow. That it's like they said it's pretty much like what was the term? I don't want
to. You're enabling a bad founder. Enabling bad behavior. You really are, because
yeah, you can go back. It's you drinking the Kool-Aid. The yeah, it's get... like you drink the Kool-Aid and you can never go back, and it's very hard. Look, I can tell you that there was a company in my space at the time, and I'll mention the name Birchbox, and I feel like they were touching that Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. They did very well. They're profitable from what was documented until 2014, and they raised, I think, 75 million, only 75 million, if you think about it. So they said, well, let's grow and don't worry about profit. And they stayed unprofitable all the way through until now. And I think now they bankrupt and someone bought them for scrap or something like that. I didn't even follow through. It was so irrelevant at the other side. So it's like, yeah, just the idea is that you could never go back and turn profit. And it's something that happens to a lot of people. So that's where you have to be aware. You can raise money, but make sure you decide what is your profit. Just ask yourself, what would happen if I can never, ever raise more money? How can I survive it? Always have that in the back of your head.
All right. Okay, that's it for today. If you enjoyed, please subscribe on YouTube. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can download and listen to it wherever you get your podcasts or on liquidityandliquor.com.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.